Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo.
As I want to thank every one of you, every single person. If I could make out thank you notes, I would. I would write notes myself.
What do you mean if you could?
Well,
how about you take those panda hands and stop being lazy?
It's like the in West Wing, there was a scene when Martin Sheen said, "What's next, Charlie?" You know, his body guy and his assistant said, "Well, you're gonna just write a generic holiday greeting card." Well, why? I'd like to write the cards out myself, Charlie. How many am I sending out? And he says, "You're sending out 15,000, sir." Okay, just bring me the form and I'll get ready and sign it. I mean, there's a lot of people I need to thank because we started the show. I said, hey, everybody give me 3 seconds of great thoughts for Jacob DeGrom, right? I said 3 seconds of great thoughts for Jacob DeGrom, who got scratched from the Mets game tonight against the Cardinals, tightness on his right side. I said, let's have some great thoughts, right? It didn't look like it was a serious injury. The MRI was coming. And now here we are an hour later. The MRI results are in. They are positive. Jacob DeGrom will be fine. He will wait a couple of days and throw and might be able to make his next start.
Are they positive or negative?
All the positive. I mean, when an MRI is positive is good. Usually, yeah. Usually test results. Nobody. This is not even the story that I'm doing. Putting him down. It's no. When MRI results are positive, that's good. Sometimes, you know, you want to be negative, but you want your you want your results to be negative too sometimes. Okay, it's just an MRI. It's a positive result. It's a good result is what happened. We put it out there in the universe, and it worked. What do you want to work on now? Who do you need to help now? We can help somebody. You know, we help Jacob DeGrom, Mike.
Well, if we
who
can
do
get
you want to help?
Luis Robert would be great, or Eloy Jimenez. I could use both of them back in the offense. Although they took it to the Reds tonight, my pitcher had 3 hits and struck out 11.
Night. It's a pretty
Dylan
good night.
Cease had himself
yes.
at night.
And TJ,
you're choking
the offense,
up over it.
The offense ceased to exist going up against Dylan tonight, TJ.
That's nicely done. Well,
you like
well
that?
Okay. Yeah, that was good.
So who do you want? Real quick, we'll do 3 seconds for one of your guys. Who do you want? Pick somebody.
Yeah, we need a little Luis Robert.
Really? Not for Justin Fields. Okay. All right, fine. Luis Robert, here we go. 3 seconds.
But he's not hurt. Justin Fields is fine.
No, but you can do anything. We can send
no, that's
good
fine.
Vibes
I need,
for
yeah,
success.
I need look, man, that's down the road. Right now, I got to worry about the health
okay,
of
all
my
right,
beloved
all right.
White Sox.
Okay. All right, here we go. 3 seconds. Ready? 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Good feet.
Aw.
I hope
well,
they're all good.
You know.
Playing the role of Debbie Downer on the show tonight is Alex Teichert. Alex, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, it's very nice. Very good. All right, so we did it for Jacob DeGrom. It worked. It worked, it worked, it worked. And you are not going to believe who has just offered their services to the Mets on social media just a few minutes ago. Not Tim Tebow.
John Stamos.
Not John Stamos.
John Stamos has a really good show on Disney Plus right now.
No, it's not.
He's a basketball coach.
Yeah, it's kind of like they said, hey, boy, that Ted Lasso was good. Can we do something kind of similar? Who can we get? Let's get Stamos.
I have to believe it was in production before Ted Lasso got released. But
I don't know. Ted Lasso's character's been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know, that character's been around for like 6 or 7 years, kicking around. Oh,
it's kind of like Brockmire, yeah.
No, but it's one of those things like, oh, hey, they've been doing this. That's in production. That's a great idea. Why don't we do something like it? And then it takes a while to get off the ground. Like,
yeah,
why
I mean, it's not a slapstick comedy.
Yeah. No, but why did Armageddon and Deep Impact come around right around each other? Hey, you know what movie they're doing? Wow, well, it's about a big asteroid coming towards
did
you.
Did you not
then.
Hear my
we'll
whole thing
about like, asteroids to Earth? We're going to do our own movie on it.
Did you hear my whole thing about Marvel and DC? Casey earlier. What do they got? All right, let's go. How fast and what stars are under contract for extra pictures that we can throw in there?
What do we have? Thanos. What do they have? Oh, boy. It's the third invention of Lex Luthor. Okay, yeah, we're okay. We're feeling all right.
Darkseid for the win.
Offering his services to the Mets on social media, on Twitter, at Stephen Cohen, Stephen A. Cohen 2, would love to offer my services to the hashtag Mets, hashtag LGM with the Mets logo. Now, if you really want to do it, you got to do LFGM because that's really the Mets logo. But
oh, yeah.
Steve Cohen would love to offer my services to the Mets, LGM, hashtag, New York Mets logo. It was done a little while ago by none other than the Twitter handle, the real Manny 99, Manny Ramirez, has offered his services to the New York Mets.
El Maniaco.
Now,
as,
he's someone...
As Vic the Brick called him.
He's someone... He's 48 now. He's also a hitting instructor, but it's Manny Ramirez, so is he offering his service as a hitting instructor because, you know, the Mets fired Chili Davis yesterday, or is he offering his service as a cleanup hitter? Because, you know, either one I'd be okay with. Either one I'd be okay with. Because you know what Manny's advice as a hitter would be? It would be this. Okay, early on in the count, right? Because this is the best thing what Manny Ramirez used to do. He would have at least one wild swing really early in the count where it looked like this guy, he's not even, his head isn't even in this. Like, he would have a big wild swing. His helmet would come off. It would look like it's his first swing of his life. And I firmly believe that he would do that just to let the pitcher and lull him into a sense of security or set him up for something on later on in the at-bat. Look, I missed that curve so much on this first pitch. Like, there's times I think I'm going to intentionally miss this pitch so badly so when he throws it to me again, later on in the count, I'm going to crush it. I really do believe he did that a lot. And that would be his big advice. Just swing wildly and look crappy on the first pitch. Then come back and hit that pitch, you know, 450 feet the next time they throw it. That would be
not a bad strategy.
That would be his
advice. And we could get all those wigs out of mothballs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Need to change the logo on them.
Manny Wood again. You know, Flushing is the real Manny Wood. I don't know. Work out that way. Manny Ramirez offering his services to the Mets. Just think about that.
You're so excited.
Just think about that, buddy. Manny to the Mets. And think about this after last night, too, right? You want to talk about Steph Curry MVP and what he's at. No, it's not a Steph Curry conversation. We'll have another one coming up. But certain things you have to kind of come around to the fact that this is going to happen, right? Last night, in the NBA, we didn't spend a lot of time. It happened late, and, you know, obviously the reaction to it is still all full today. Carmelo Anthony hit the top 10 in scoring all-time on the NBA's all-time list last night. Got into the top 10, and it really is incredible to see him get that high when you thought his career was over just 2 or 3 years ago. I was like, he's never going to get back. Who's going to keep him? There's no way. There's no way Melo's even going to play anymore. And he and Chris Paul, I'll tell you, have done the best job of making me look like an idiot because, you know, it's very difficult to do that.
Really? You're putting them on the medal stand?
They have done
the best job. I do it every damn night.
Stop with it. You think, like in your mind, you think you do it. You know, like it's different, like in realistic. Anyway, Melo, I thought 2 or 3 years ago, he's done, right? Chris Paul is done. And here he's found a way to get back into the league when it looked like with Houston he was finished. And here he is now, and he can do what he's doing now for the next few years. Like, you know, this is not like, well, Melo's done. Now, Melo's still got another couple of years left to be able to be this kind of weapon where he just has to worry about scoring and playing less minutes. I mean, he passes Elvin Hayes last night. He is now 10th all-time in scoring with over 27,300 points. He's at 27,318, passing Elvin Hayes last night. Everybody else is in the Hall of Fame or going to the Hall of Fame, and that's where Melo's going to end up. All right, now for everybody who goes, oh, but Melo, I don't see him as an all-time great. I don't see him as all these things. Melo, let's just realize for a second, because this is where Steph Curry gets back into it. The Hall of Fame is the Basketball Hall of Fame. And it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. The guy's got 3 gold medals. The guy's got 27,000 points. He's going to wind up passing Moses Malone. He's probably going to end up passing Shaq when it's all said and done. Wilt, I don't know, but he's going to wind up passing Moses and Shaq. He's going to be deep into the top 10 by the time he retires from the NBA, right? Which, let's say he's got a couple of years left. He has an outside shot. Maybe he plays three. If he plays four more years, five, maybe, but at least you're looking at him passing Moses, and he's passing Shaquille O'Neal. So he's going to finish up, let's just say conservatively, as the eighth all-time leading scorer in NBA history. All right, that's what he's done. So the guy's a Hall of Famer. Now you want to talk to me about how great Steph Curry is. Steph Curry right now is 75th all-time scoring in the NBA. All right, 75th yep. all-time. All right, now this doesn't mean that Steph is awful. This doesn't mean that, oh, but Steph is 75th. Now, he probably is going to score way more points than Melo the next few years. But where is he going to wind up? I mean, he is 9,000 points ahead of Steph Curry. 9,000 points. And when a guy scores an average of, if you're having a really good year, 1,900 points a year, is he going to score that many for the next 5 years? Is Curry going to be scoring 30 points a game when he's 38 years old? He's not. So he's going to peter out, most likely, the top 10. All right, so if you want to take Steph Curry's career as a whole, you have to understand that when you're talking about all his great, he became terrific when Steve Kerr came to town. When Steve Kerr came to town and suddenly it was, here's the offense we're running. We're up and down the floor. We're taking advantage of what you do. And Steph Curry's points per game jumped up 8 points per game. He was a nice borderline all-star player, Steph Curry, his first 6 years in the league. Not first 2 years, first 6 years in the league through his rookie contract into a second contract. He's 23, 24 points a game. Lots of guys do that, right? Now, but since Steve Kerr showed up, he's turned into this player. But understand, you're taking the whole career now, that Steph wasn't that great a player when he was young in his first 6 years. Melo was. And this is not a conversation about boy, but when you say Carmelo Anthony, it's easy for people to dismiss him and go, oh, the guy never won. He didn't do this, never played defense. All he did was get paid, all these things. Hey, what about Steph Curry? Oh, Steph's one of the great scorers of all time. Melo's a greater scorer when you go all the way through their careers. Okay, now obviously it's not said and done yet, but hey, if Steph's a great scorer, he gets up to Melo, doesn't he? I mean, he'll get to up to 27,000, right? Because the first 6 years, when Melo comes out and he's terrific and Steph is scoring 22, 23 a game, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, you got to take everything into consideration when you break down somebody's career. So when you look at Melo, yeah, okay, Hall of Famer, what he's done, and understand, as good as Steph Curry is, boy, Steph Curry's on the outskirts right now. He's going to move up. He'll be up there in 70 and then 65 and 50. But, you know, how many more years does he have? He's 33, right? And he's got a lot of injuries. How many more years are you going to have? How many more years are you going to score 30 points a game? That's a very big deal in the NBA. It's a very big deal for Melo.
Career best for Steph Curry was 23.75, if my math is correct, going back to 2015, if I'm able to read. His next best effort goes pretty far down the list. I mean, not even top 250, if I'm getting this right off of Basketball Reference. And you've got an awful lot of Carmelo Anthony's and other active players mixed therein. Take nothing away from it. Eventually, Steph's going to drain it. But if we do, you know, generously get him in that 1,900 to 2,000 per year, which is he's going to pass that here, right? He's, what, about 1,900 now with 7 games remaining. So say 30. All right, so he gets to 2,100 or thereabouts. That ranks in the 160s all time. Right next to Carmelo Anthony, who had 21-12 in 2013. See what I did there? No, so
I see what you did there, buddy.
No, it's always fun to extrapolate and make our comparisons. And I think the point of this exercise is for folks to remember what Carmelo Anthony was. Right, beyond the headlines and the fights in New York, and obviously the team didn't get over, and James Dolan has been a joke for all these years. This year, we're not hearing about him. By the way, you forgot to talk about Julius Randle before with MVP stuff, buddy.
We'll get to Julius Randle, but I'm just saying, Julius Randle.
Yeah, but you were doing some of the other guys. You at least had to put his name in there just so people could say, oh, here he goes with the Knicks. But in this particular case, I mean, when he came into the league, the guy was a force. And these last couple of years, I mean, the speech he gave last night was phenomenal, right? Talking about the fight and getting back into the league and how much he loves basketball and all of those things. But you start thinking about top 10 all time. That's longevity. That's fight. That's health. And that's, you know, you could say there's some empty stats there. They all count the same, right? Right, if we're going to do that, because right now, you know, all the folks that were tweeting at us going, "He, look at all the points he's got after three." It's like they lost to the Pelicans. Okay, he's done. He was done tonight. He didn't score again, missed some shots, committed a couple of turnovers, and they lost to the Pelicans in a very winnable game, especially given the fact that they blew them out a night ago. I know back-to-back and things change and adjust. No. My ass adjustments. They played a lackluster game, and they got beat by Lonzo Ball, okay? So when we get down to it, I mean, Steph Curry, fantastic. I just every time we have these, he's the greatest of all time. He's not really even a point guard. See, it all funnels back into the same thing of when we're trying to put a guy in a box, let's make sure we're actually using the right box.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is not something to say, oh, hey, but just to point out what a great scorer Steph Curry is, here's what Melo's done. He's 3 years older than Steph, but he's got 9,000 more points. Okay, it's not like, well, when Steph plays three more years, he's going to have that 9,000. No, he's not even going to be close to Melo. I mean, I don't know when Steph's done if he's going to have more points than Melo. I would stay with Melo. 9,000 points. Melo's going to play at least another couple of years. Steph's going to play probably five more years, let's just say. And I'll take Melo finishing with more points than Steph Curry. When you want to talk about, hey, let's talk about the list of great scorers, where they wind up sitting all time.
And that headband will go into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. I mean, look.
I don't know that there's a thing that we text each other back and forth more than the Melo shaking his head.
Oh, I love the Melo shaking his head, yes, is my favorite GIF. I've been using that for like the last 2 months all the time. It's my favorite one. It's my favorite one. Twitter at About a Fresca, Mike gets swollen dome. And just know that's the kind of career that Melo has had with all this, you know, to use Steph Curry as a comparison. And look, like I said, it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. College Basketball National Championship, 3 gold medals. The guy, he's easy in the Hall of Fame. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. They need to hire people fast. Indeed can help you beat the clock with powerful hiring tools like Instant Match. Just sponsor a job and Indeed will send you a list of resumes from Indeed's database on the spot. They also have 135 skills tests for things like computer proficiency or customer service talent so you can find the right candidates faster. Did you know 10 hires are made every minute on Indeed? Just goes to show you when you need people for work, Indeed works. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Coming up next, we got a big NFL story coming your way and the most shocking baseball story of the year so far. That's no hyperbole. It is. It's next. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Right now, game two of a doubleheader, the Dodgers lead the Cubs. Well, they were leading the Cubs until Kenley Jansen came in a 3-1 game in the seventh inning. Boy, did the Dodgers want to win this game or not, bringing in Kenley Jansen in the seventh. And the Cubs put up 2 runs to tie it. It is 3-3. They have the winning run at third with one out in the bottom of the ninth. Javi Baez with a home run that tied the game in the eighth inning. A bit of a shocker when it looked like, hey, this is how it's going to go, and the Dodgers are going to split this doubleheader. Right now, the Cubs have the winning run 90 feet away, one out in the bottom ninth. They could sweep a doubleheader from the Dodgers.
That would be huge, right? Because that game one was an absolute mess.
Oh, boy. And that's
the other part. A lot of injuries we talked about last night. And old Clayton had one for the ages.
Today, Clayton Kershaw had the shortest outing of his career. Went one inning for the Dodgers against the Cubs, gave up four runs in the bottom of the first inning and was pulled. Boy, the one time I wouldn't want to be Dave Roberts was telling Clayton, hey, dude, you're done after one inning. And it's not like this has been a bad season for Clayton Kershaw. He's pitched really well. Today just wasn't his day. And to take him out after one inning and 40 pitches, I mean, that was – we've never seen that before. But honestly, you know, watching this game earlier today, when he walked Javi Baez, okay, and let's face it, Javi Baez, what's his walk rate, 1%? I mean, I could throw pitches 30 feet outside the strike zone and Javi Baez would still swing at them. And I could still hit it. I could still hit that ball. I mean, he should have been taken out just for walking Javi Baez.
He had one walk entering this game.
I mean, really, and this is Clayton Kershaw, one of the best control pitchers that you've ever seen. And he had one walk all season. His walk rate is 1%. And here he is, and he walks him in the first inning. That's when you know, hey, I don't have it today, man. I really don't. I do not have it today. So, you know, he should have been taken out of the game just for that. I mean, really, that should have been where it's, you know, it's got to come out.
39 pitches, most ever in a first inning.
He hasn't walked since April 8th. That was the only time Javi Baez had walked in a game up until today.
That's pretty amazing.
Mm.
So I'm going to blame it on the umpire. No. Clayton had a bad start.
Somehow it's Angel Hernandez's fault. I know it.
But like we talked about yesterday, with all the injuries you've got going on in the rotation and in the bullpen, a start like that just absolutely murders you for the rest of the game. So I don't even think they would want to go to Kenley Jansen, but it becomes a who's available kind of situation, and that's where we get to this mess here. And you know what? They haven't won a series at Wrigley. Listen to the our friends on AM 570 LA Sports. They haven't won a series at Wrigley since 2014. For all the dominance all across Major League Baseball and what we've seen from the Dodgers, heading into Chicago has become like Miami. They're just not coming for a full series effort once they hit that neighborhood.
You know, and that's something that you see, and every team has that, right? That's something everybody listening right now goes, oh, I know it. There's certain times when I know wherever we go to a certain place to play, like the Mets, we're not going to play well. Or like
when the Jets play, we're
going to go play in Philadelphia, we're not going to win. We're not going to win Philadelphia, and we're not going to win in Minnesota. Right? Those two, I know it. The Jets have to play there. We're not going to win. We're not going to win in those places. When the Mets go and play in San Francisco, the Mets are not going to win. Right?
I used to go see the White Sox play the A's all the time. I'd go to two games out of every series. I saw, I think, one win in the 5 years I lived in the Bay Area. It was just awful. But I'd go every night. It's like, come on, guys. It's like there'd be the same 10 of us standing next to each other in one section. There was people scattered throughout the park, of course. But it was the same people going down and being by the dugout. It's like, are we actually going to win a game here? I mean, it was just miserable. And you're at the O.co, which is a hole on top of it.
Mm. Clayton Kershaw actually talked about his day today after game one, before game two, and well, he didn't really sugarcoat it. Clayton, how'd you pitch today?
It's really nothing you can do at this point. It's embarrassing. No excuses. You know, that was horrible. So, just put our team in a really bad spot in a doubleheader, and thankfully our guys, you know, in the pen stepped up and ate some innings for me, and yeah, I don't know, just chalk it up to a really bad start and get ready for the next one.
Now, look, do I think the Dodgers are in trouble? No, they're fine. Okay, they've had a lot. They have a ton of injuries right now, obvious. And even though everybody they keep bringing up keeps hitting 350 in every good – look at these guys.
Well, you had another one, right?
Yeah. Matt Beattie's got 8 RBIs today. No, that's great. They still have a lot of injuries. And the main thing is watching the Dodgers, they're not synced up. Like, it's like – this happens so many times with the Mets where they get – hey, they pitched great for 3 games in a row, but they're dead from the neck up hitting, and they're not synced up. And so you have 3 great starts, and the Mets lose 2 out of 3. Because they can't score any runs. Or the games when the bats finally explode and they score 7 runs, the pitching's not there and they give up 10. That's kind of really what it is for the Dodgers. They're really just not synced up right now. And I've seen that a lot going, boy, here's games where they pitch and they're just not where they should be. And let's be honest, Yes, they're 17-14. When you win the NL West every year and you go to the World Series almost every year and you're coming off winning the World Series, it was surprising that the Dodgers started out as fast as they did. I think that opening week series against the Padres had a lot to do with it, but you're going to see a little bit of malaise and you're going to see a little bit of, well, when there's so many injuries, we're going to struggle a little bit. I'm not worried about the Dodgers at all. You know, eventually they'll get Bellinger back. They'll get some of their pitchers back. Things will start getting better. But, you know, right now, yes, it's just a tough time. They're going through it right now. I have no doubt the Dodgers are going to pick it up and turn it around. They're just in a really, really rough spot right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
I love when athletes go on other athletes' podcasts, because sure, this is when you always get the best stuff from athletes, right? Because when an athlete goes on a podcast with a host, sometimes you get good stuff, or they do an interview of some kind. You know, sometimes it's good, but when athletes talk to other athletes, they always let their guard down. They don't feel like they're doing something for the media. They feel like, I'm hanging out with my guys and I'm just talking, right? Why does Aaron Rodgers say such big things on Pat McAfee's show? Because, you know, he was a player and they're players and they're hanging out and they're talking. That's just the way it goes. And today, former Rams cornerback Marcus Peters, who was subject of a pretty big trade. When the Rams first got Marcus Peters a couple of years ago, he was going to be, you know, their answer at cornerback. Well, didn't work out. They traded him away to Baltimore, where he's played the last year. And after that happened, the Rams went out and got Jalen Ramsey. So how does Marcus Peters think about this whole thing? Well, he went on Aqib Talib's podcast. You know, they were teammates with the Rams. Now, this trade happened well over a year ago, but Marcus Peters is still mad at the Rams for trading him and going to get Jalen Ramsey right away. Listen to the exchange between Peters and Aqib Talib.
I was pissed off more so because I'm at
it. So you was pissed off?
Oh, yeah. Him. That's how I was feeling, and I'm still feeling like that because...
Wait, stop for a second. What we bleeped out was him say, oh, the Rams? Yeah, blank them. I mean, yeah. right away. How do you feel about the Rams? Blank them. Okay, thanks, Marcus Peters. Let's continue here.
That's how I was feeling, and I'm still feeling like that because I felt disrespected in the sense of, yeah, y'all can trade me. That's a part of the business. But 2 minutes after that, you bring in another guy who do the same I do, maybe a little bit different. If we play this compare game, I do a little bit more. That was disrespectful to me.
Okay,
I took that personally.
He died when they traded me and then replaced me with Jalen Ramsey. Okay, let's stop for 1 second here. He says he understands it's part of the business when you get traded, but he was upset that they traded him and replaced him with another. What did he think was going to happen? They were going to trade him and say, we're going to leave the position open. We're not going to field. Yeah. We're only going to have one cornerback on the field. We're going to play a cornerback and three safeties.
No. Just a seventh round guy.
We're just going to put a guy. He's never played cornerback before. We're just going to put him out there and see if he knows. He doesn't even have cleats.
He won a competition that we had.
The season,
on local television.
His parents were told the season started. They just found out last night. They didn't get a chance to go to Big Five to get cleats yet. So, you know, the first practice is going to be without cleats. All right, just so you know. I mean, yeah, of course they're going to go get somebody else when they trade you. Why are you worried about that? But this is what I say. Defensive backs in the NFL are a different breed, man. You know, I talk about NBA players who really want that respect and that street cred more than anybody else. Defensive backs are the new wide receivers, man. They're like, you do not disrespect me by trading me and then bringing in another player to play my position that you think could play it better. I don't understand what he's saying. It's like he's made that up to be mad at the Rams. Yeah, they bring in somebody else that kind of does the same things I do differently. The guy who was a little bit better than you, maybe. I mean, a little bit better. Yeah, your contract had a lot to do with it. They weren't going to bring you back the next year anyway. So this is where Marcus Peters has to understand you should have stopped after saying it's a business, right? That's where it was. But he's still pissed off because he feels disrespected because the Rams traded him. I mean, this is defensive back diviness to the extreme. This is great.
No, but you got to keep that in the memory bank. We all need motivation in different parts of our lives to spur us forward, right? A failed, maybe you look back at how big a goober you were. I mean, and I mean you, Smith, trying to talk to people back in the day. I mean, you tried. And you were like that guy that was the meme that was going around, right? The kid that's dancing in front of this girl, and everybody's like, look at him shoot his shot. He's not saying a word, but he is dancing up a storm. I could see you doing that. Or in your jobs and whatever else, and you get passed over for a promotion. You get passed over in our business, right, for an on-air shift. Or it's like, what did I do? Or who did I tick off that I'm not getting this, that, the other? And every one of you out there, wherever you're listening, we appreciate you. You've got that in your job. You know, you've had moments. Why didn't I get assigned that project or that file? You know, that's the fun one, right? It's a big contract. It's potential for big commissions, whatever else. And what we have here with Marcus Peters is, all right, I'll keep that chip on my shoulder. So maybe my workouts are a little more intense because I have to show him, because now I'm always going to be compared to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not that you might not have anyway, but now you're linked together forever because he's the guy that replaced you. So what is it? I'll show them. And then you go to a team that's also competitive, and let's see if we can run into each other come Super Bowl time. But, yeah, I know. I totally get the mentality. You got to keep that chip on your shoulder. Everybody's got something that drives you to bust your ass every day at a job you may not like.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And eventually, you want to look back at your NFL career and go, "I had a lot of fun there." Every
and
place
you will.
Every place I worked, even if it wasn't the greatest place in the world to work, NFL now, even if it wasn't the greatest place to in the world, I have a lot of good memories there of certain things. The
Just don't say the guys are gambling on a Monday night.
The bad ones are bad, and I try not to think of those. And when I think, I want to think about the good things. And he's clearly just no shade. He just pissed off blank the Rams. I mean, that's part of his career. And honestly, look at it. They weren't going to bring you back with your contract in 2020. Jalen Ramsey is 2 years younger than you. Okay. Marcus Peters is a two-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro. All right. Jalen Ramsey is a four-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro. All right, so yeah, Jalen Ramsey's a little bit better than you. They upgraded. That's how it is. But DBs, man, it's like this is like the NBA. I want credit to the extreme. It's like they look like they're just a bunch of Boy Scouts hanging around roasting marshmallows. The NBA stars compared to DBs and shutdown cornerbacks when they want credit for who's the best and who isn't. I mean, it's like that's like the junior varsity of NBA players compared to DBs. That's the varsity.
I'm now thinking about Richard Sherman and going after Michael Crabtree. See, it all works.
I'm thinking about marshmallows and s'mores.
Have s'mores and cookies on the brain now.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Coming up next, we get back into a huge night in the NBA. Does it mean someone's back in the MVP conversation? Maybe not. That's next right here on Fox.